The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, celebrating the Packers' 24-22 win over the Texans, who, by the way, came in as one of the top teams in the NFL, according to ESPN's power rankings. I believe they were number three last week. So were the power rankings wrong, or did your green and gold actually go out there and defensively suffocate Stroud and company into a loss? 22 points, 86 passing yards, guys. This was a fantastic performance by the Green Bay Packers defense. Offense did enough to get the win, but a lot of people, guys, I saw a ton of tweets, ton of comments about people who are done, absolutely D-O-N-E, with Rich Bisaccia. And our Josh DiMaggio is one of them. So what is it, Joshy, about Rich Bisaccia and his unit? Special teams unit.
Rich Bisaccia was brought in here to clean up the Packers' issues on special teams. Now, some of the things that have gone against him are things simply he's not in control of. Like, I'm sure he's not telling people to catch the ball inside the end zone on a punt. But the amount of penalties and the amount of mishaps that are happening, and the fact that he can't get those guys disciplined enough where Keyshawn Nixon, call a fair catch, catch the ball right there. Jayden Reed, let the ball go over your head and into the end zone. Those are all things that like a coach should be able to instill in those guys, and he was brought in here to change it, and he hasn't changed it. Gabe, I don't know if you can do this fast enough, but what is the Packers special teams ranked across the NFL? Because the past few years, they were, remember when they were the worst in the league? Like, bar none, they were like...
That was right before Rich came in.
Yeah, and before I get too far here, I believe they haven't been above, like, a bottom 10 in his tenure here. So, what's the deal? How can they not be better, more consistent, and not have as many issues as they've had? What are you doing?
I like to know what the rule is now on punt return. Like, because back in the day, it was always heels at the 10, and if you have to back up or if it's over your head, you let it go. That's clearly not the case anymore, but is it like Jayden Reed's was just, that's just dumb. What are you doing? Just let it go into the end zone. And that is coaching. There should be, all right, if it's the 5-yard line now, your heel's on the 5. If you back up, let it go.
Yeah, I don't know what that rule is at this point, Chew. So to answer your question, Joshy, Pro Football Focus hasn't updated this because they still have to go through all the games and everything yesterday, but going into yesterday, Packers 30th in special teams. I don't know what their formula is and how many missed kicks, which, again, to me is not a Rich Bisaccia thing. Like, he's not telling Braden Narveson, hey, buddy, go out there and miss kicks, right? Like, and as we've discussed that with Domofsky and everybody, there's no, like, Bisaccia's not teaching form on kicking, right? He's not like a quarterback coach would work on with Jordan Love and his mechanics. Yeah, but you don't have that. But I don't know how much I blame Rich Bisaccia. Like, is it a waste of $3 million or whatever he's getting as a special teams coordinator? Probably. But again, like the issues that you are having, Josh, those, I blame the players. Like, Jayden Reed, you've returned how many punts in your life? Why are you doing that? Like, to me, Keyshawn Nixon, even though we busted one loose a week or two ago, however long that was, in the punt return, he hadn't been back there probably for a reason. Like, you got to go up and you got to catch that muffed kick. Like, you have to be able to, you had plenty of space to go get it.
Oh my God, you have to stop talking. Please stop talking. Something is going on with a reverb, it's in my ears and it is crushing me right now. I'm hearing Gabe and then I'm hearing Gabe again. Two Gabes. A lot of Gabe. Now it's a lot of Jen, actually.
Yeah, because Chewy's gotta mute his computer.
Well, Josh just told me to unmute my computer.
No, your microphone has to be unmuted, but your speakers have to be muted.
There's a comedy of errors this morning. What are we, special teams for the Green Bay Packers?
I blame Joshy. Joshy's blaming Rich Bisaccia. I'm blaming Joshy.
Wow. Blame game.
Just pointing fingers all the way around the circle.
I think at a certain extent, I do agree. Those guys can't make the plays, but there's also procedural penalties. There's holding penalties. They're so undisciplined. It seems like something's not being taught the right way.
Well, but in fairness, like penalties across the board, the Packers have been one of the most penalized teams in the league. Like that. So again, that might not be a Bisaccia thing. That could just be a general team thing.
Is there anything to the new dynamic kickoff? Is there anything to this is the first year? Because they're seeing a lot of it on those. Is there still just a disconnect with doing that, you know, soundly, executing that soundly? Or is that trying to find an excuse for why this is happening?
Maybe.
Well, it seems now everyone boots it out of the back of the end zone, so nothing's really changed. It's just these teams accept by kicking it out of the back of the end zone where it was at the 25. Now they're going to get it at the 30 because did they return a kick?
Yeah, Nixon returned one right away, got called back because of a hold. He had another opportunity later. But even like to Josh's point, like the Texans took advantage after an unsportsmanlike penalty of a little quirk that I think got a lot of people confused when they ended up kicking the ball out of the end zone and the Packers got it at the 25. Like, I don't even know if the Packers would take advantage of that, where it's like, I can be aggressive with this kick, get it to hit, try to roll through the end zone, have the ball come out to the 20, but if it goes out of bounds, it's only coming out to the 25 because it's 25 yards from the kicking spot. And I don't even know if the Packers would have tried to execute something like that. It doesn't seem like they would be capable of executing something like that. And that's where a good special teams coordinator comes in.
Are you at the point, guys, anybody, where you think that this unit will lose you games? Are you at the point where you're going, this is a problem? We talked about the interceptions earlier with Jordan Love. We talked about how that could, if it continues, be something that loses you game against better teams down the road when you have to play back-to-back-to-back good teams in the playoffs. Is this something that you are concerned at this moment? October 20, what are we, the 1st, 21st, 20th, whatever, October something. Are you concerned about special teams losing games?
No. Sure. I'm not.
Yes. Truly,
the only special teams thing that I think can really win and lose you games is missing kicks.
Brian Bostic, also, don't touch the football, and then you touch the football.
Give them the ball. At the 20?
You know what? It's great when we can, in case of emergency, break glass. Brian Bostic's oops.
He was pretty instrumental in the loss.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? It's just that they're a little bit undisciplined. You know? You got to rein these players in. Go back to the rules. Whatever your rule is. If your heels are on the 5 and you back up, let it go. Let it go.
The problem is it's clearly players not listening because you can't go, okay, well, Nixon didn't listen. Now I'm going to put in Jaden. Well, Jaden didn't listen either.
Well, that's what I'm going to say because I think Gabe is making a really good point about, like, on some level, this is player accountability. This is not Rich Bisaccia, you know, just letting guys run roughshod or letting guys, you know, run the show. These are things that these guys are taught when they first start playing football, aren't they? And I feel like from a fan's standpoint, the best thing we can do is hold the players accountable and ask the players to recognize where they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. Joshy, why do you think Rich Bisaccia is receiving the brunt of your ire this morning?
Because he was brought in to change the face of one of the worst special teams in the league, and he's failed to do that at every stop he's made so far with the Packers. Like, at some level, it has to be something. At some point, it can't just be different. The players aren't the same from when they had the worst in the league to when they are now. Like, those faces aren't the same. So what is the disconnect between what Rich Bisaccia is telling them to do week in and week out and the product that is being put on the field? Because I would imagine he's not telling you to catch it inside the 5-yard line, but why aren't they listening? Why isn't that? Is it not a big enough focus in Matt LaFleur's practice? Is that a thing?
I think that's interesting because they don't practice as long even in the regular season as you guys used to, and what, Thursdays used to be special teams practices?
No, there would be before the start of practice every day. There was a half hour of special teams practice. So if you weren't on special teams, then you don't have to be down there. So Wednesday is probably kickoff, return, and punt. Thursday is probably kickoff and punt return. And then Friday, you review all of them. You know, so there is a lot of special teams work. But special teams is just, it's an attitude. You know, it's where guys cut their teeth and show their willingness to do this. That's a step before you come on as a nickel player or, you know, the next corner and things like that. I don't know. All I know is the guy was the highest paid special teams coach in the league for a while. I don't know if he is now. And like Joshy said, I mean, 30th is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, if we want to blame him, we can. I think that maybe something even larger. Because if you pay somebody like that, and the special teams issues have continued from the previous coordinators that you had before, like, I wonder if it's something that's higher up that's not being emphasized organizational-wise. Look, has Bisaccia been good enough? I'm not defending him. No. Like, if you want to fire him, go ahead. I just don't think that the next guy's going to have much of an impact either.
Does Bisaccia get credit for Whalen having a good day? Does Bisaccia get credit for McManus having a good day and kicking the game-winning field goal? Like, if we're going to blame him for some of the special teams issues, would you also give him...
Did we blame him for the missing kicks?
Some people did.
Well,
some people did.
I don't think we should.
You did.
Well, but again, people were talking about the snap on the final field goal as well, saying the snap wasn't that great. Whalen saved the snap, right? Wasn't that a big storyline yesterday as well? Like, guys are going to make mistakes. It's when you see repeated mistakes, it's when you see them compounding, that people start to get frustrated. And I think you're right. Look, heavy the head that wears the crown, right? We say it all the time. If you are going to be the coordinator of that unit and that unit is underperforming, you certainly deserve some criticism. I am not saying that you shouldn't. For me, I feel like some of these guys are just making boneheaded plays. And, you know, what is Bisaccia going to do? Ground them? Like, Chu, what do you think the punishment is in this day and age, in the year of our Lord 2024, when a player messes up on the field? They're not running gassers,
well,
right?
It's different. It's different for someone like Jaden Reed, who's, you know,
starter,
one of
very
the most
valuable
explosive weapons. How you handle that is like, what are you doing, right? Don't go rogue here. Let's stick to the formula, do what you've been taught and go there. Where if it's, I don't know, some rookie that is playing terrible, then you jump them and you yell at them. I mean, you can't fine them. You can't fine players for their performance and their decisions on the field. So, yeah, you just yell at them. That's what Nolan would do. Nolan Cromwell is the best special teams coach I ever had, and he didn't care who you were. You're going to do it his way. You're going to do it his way, or you're going to get replaced. And we were very good. We were always top 10, top 5. But it's an attitude.
But also, like, at this point, they're two main returners, Chu. You can't really do much to discipline them. Like, when you guys went, and it wasn't just Desmond, because you had Roel Preston after that. Like, you guys had guys on that roster,
yes,
that were just basically returners. Jaden's important in that defense. And, oh, by the way,
Keyshawn.
Mm-hmm. Keyshawn's starting at outside corner now because they've got Bullard playing more slots. So, like, Keyshawn Nixon's even more important to the defense now. And that's the way that they've been handling this.
How much of the Bisaccia ire, Chu, is because he's making so much money?
Well,
75?
Sure. It's like Jordan. You know, you're the highest paying the guy in the league. Stop turning the ball over, right? Stop turning the ball over. We expect more. But as far as... I don't know what to say about Bisaccia. All I'm saying is, you know, the two aren't matching up if you're the highest paid. I mean, because he hasn't been. He's never been top 10 there in Green Bay.
No. But again, I don't think whoever they hire next is going to be either. Like, at some point, don't we have to wonder if this is an organizational thing? They don't really care about special teams? If you've had so many different coordinators come through, and it's kind of been all the same in the Matt LaFleur era, maybe they don't care that much.
What about the narrative that Bisaccia has requested certain players, or Bisaccia has said, I like this guy, and then the front office has gone out and gotten those guys? Like, they obviously care about it on some level, because you don't do that for most coordinators. You go, no, you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. You get the guys who aren't starting on Sunday, and you figure out a way to make it work.
But who is their best special teams player outside of returners? Who would you guys say? Because back when I played,
discounting kickers and punters.
Yeah, Jervey.
You had Travis Jervey. You had Timmy Hawk. You had guys that were like, you remember Tasker? Remember Tasker
in
Buffalo?
Oh yeah.
Maybe one of the greatest special teams player ever. We always had a guy like that. Who's that on this team?
I mean, Jarrett Bush, as much maligned as he was as a cornerback, he was really good.
Yeah.
You know, in the late 2000s, early 2010s, he was a really good special teamer on those teams. Same thing with Jeff Janis, really good gunner.
Do we have one?
I don't think so.
I think it's supposed to be Zane Anderson, because why else is he on the team?
That's a good point. Real good point.
There was the safety that they ended up cutting last year when he made a big blunder.
Oh, yeah. Number 6.
Yeah. They have guys that are Bisaccia guys.
Oh, you can do it, but I can't?
Look, I didn't criticize you for it, big guy. I was on your side.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know who you're talking about for whatever it's worth. So I'm going to put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Are you worried about special teams mistakes costing the Packers a game? Are you worried about that? Or is it just you live with some of these errors that, again, it could be the same mentality that we are asking for Jordan Love with the interceptions. It could be you escaped with a win against a top team. There are things to clean up. Make sure you don't do it again. It can be as simple as that, but maybe it's not. Maybe you are worried that these mistakes will cost them a game down the road. I will say this, though. If you're going to criticize the mistakes of the special teams unit, you also have to recognize that special teams, in the form of the punter and the kicker, won them the game yesterday, flipping the field and splitting the uprights down the stretch with 3 seconds left on the clock. Gabe?
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. It's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. And they can put together a customized testosterone treatment plan for you if your testosterone levels are low. Well, how do you know if they're low? Tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to attack your day the way that you used to. Those could be signs of low testosterone. So book an appointment today. Go to lowtusa.com because Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. They have helped out me, and I feel like I've got that energy to get through my busy schedule. They can help you as well. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you know that fact, though?
No, I didn't.
You didn't know that fact?
Is that just a fact, Brig?
Yeah. I mean, that's what Chewy does. Chewy knows the most facts of anyone on the show.
He also knows the most fiction.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Appreciate folks who have been sticking with us this morning as we work through some technical difficulties on the YouTube stream and elsewhere. Some of the audio has been jammed up this morning, but we are efforting and we are doing our best over on this end to bring you, you know, average content like we do every morning, right? Average, that's fair. Average content. Talking about that Green Bay Packers victory, don't forget we have Rob Demofsky coming up in just a moment. So, Chew, I want to get your opinion on this. What is the thing you were most impressed with or most thrilled with or most content with yesterday in the Green Bay Packers' victory over the Texans?
The ability to get home with a blitz and confuse Stroud. That was by far the best. Hands down.
And just from a technical standpoint, what were they doing? What was Halfley doing to, you know, confuse him and give him such a tough time?
He was disguising looks. So the one sack was a fire zone. So what a fire zone is you send the linebackers and the defensive ends back out. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Preston Smith in coverage and...
Which everybody loves.
Yeah, whichever. You know, it was a great call, though, because what they're supposed to do is Preston Smith engages the guy who's supposed to block him. You know, and then the tackle, he just loses sight of the linebacker, you know, once Preston Smith backs out. It's very effective defense. Houston clearly wasn't ready for it. That was a great call, and that's how Wilson got one of his sacks. But he just kept, you know, baiting, and they're dropping out of coverage. They did a great job disguising. There was a time... Because I was sitting there watching the game with Dyson, my son, and I'm like, oh, four sky. They're playing a lot of four sky. And then at the snap of the ball, he boogied back to cover two. Mm. So Stroud was just confused. And like I said, their offensive coordinator did nothing to help him out.
So that's
You know when I say don't see ghosts? He was seeing ghosts.
So that's
just the standard pre-snap, post-snap different look, right?
Correct. Yep.
Which, by the way, guys, if teams aren't doing that in this day and age, what are you doing? Like, it feels like everybody is doing that now, Gabe, where whatever you're seeing first, you can almost bank on that's not what you're going to be seeing at the snap of the ball.
Well, again, that's why so many teams want to be able to use that motion in order to kind of give a tip. All right, trying to help out your young quarterback.
Correct.
That's why the Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan offense with their motion has been able to help out young quarterbacks because it gives them an idea. It's harder for teams to disguise because they can't, you know, they got to bail out of
correct.
It.
Correct. You leave a man or yeah. do you to stick with what you're trying to show or do you, the jig
yeah.
is up.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Chu.
I think Halfley is reserved to the fact that he knows he cannot create pressure with four.
Yep.
Can't create pressure with the four down linemen because the fire zone is still coming with four.
Yeah, technically not a blitz, not rushing
it's
five.
It's technically
or more.
Not a blitz. Yeah, it's just guys switching responsibilities in coverage.
Well, and that's what that stat was this morning, guys. Stroud was under pressure on 13 of 29 dropbacks. That's 45%, despite the Packers blitzing on 17% of those dropbacks. So they were only blitzing on 17% of the 29 dropbacks. So, yeah. So again, it's the variance, right? It's mm-hmm. that you're showing different things, you are confusing a young quarterback. And again, does he have all of last year under his belt? Yes, but I do love that Halfley was like, this is how we are going to win the game. And I cannot stress enough, holding C.J. Stroud and this offense to a career-worst 86 passing yards is a very good thing. I think it gives this defensive unit confidence. It shows that Halfley is on the right track. Even as we have been critical for what he has been unable to do, his unit has been unable to do up front, getting pressure with those four down linemen, he shows that there are other ways that this defense can wreak havoc. We have to get to Rob Domofsky. He is coming up next. Always love checking in with Rob, who will give us even deeper perspective on what went down in yesterday's 24-22 win over the Texans. Stick around.
It is a Victory Monday. Brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
We need a new intro for this year, though.
All right, we'll work on it.
Consider it done, Rob.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Look, I would suspect that we don't see Malik Willis throw the ball down the field a whole lot, especially early, but it would not surprise me if we got back to more of the quick West Coast stuff.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I was overly harsh about Gabe's golf game because I played terrible yesterday.
It's Rob Domofsky.
This better be a great segment.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Rob Domofsky, I have exceptional, excellent, wonderful news, Stephen A. Smith. The YouTube stream is up and running here on ESPN Milwaukee. So if you have been struggling to hear us this morning on the YouTube stream, fear no more. We have got it figured out. It is fixed. Perfect timing, of course, because now we have Rob Domofsky to break down the Packers' win over the Texans. Good morning, Rob. How are you today?
Good, Jen. How are you?
Good. Much better now that we have figured out some of our audio issues this morning. I do want to start with this. How should fans look at the win yesterday? We have talked about some of the errors. We have talked about some of the mistakes, whether it was Jordan Love's interceptions or special teams gaffes. How should fans view yesterday's win over the Texans?
I think they should probably be sending flowers, beers, pizzas, whatever to Brian Gutekunst's office for finding a kicker. I mean, you know, you think about it too, Jen, like the moves that Goody's made, the Narvison one did not work, but to his credit, he fixed it. But he's been on a pretty good run here. Malik Willis, you know, that worked out huge, kind of maybe saved the early part of the season. Brandon McManus, pretty good. Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, the draft picks, not necessarily the first round pick because he hasn't really played much, but Cooper, Bullard, Evan Williams. I mean, it's been a pretty good run to put this team together and where it is. And look, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know, I was ready to say, look, you know, if they lost that game yesterday, they haven't beaten a good team because of the four wins previous that they had. Those teams came into this past week at 7-15. And the teams that, including Houston, were 13-3, you know, that they would have lost to had they lost to Houston. So I think it's a good win. I think there's, you know, some things that we've seen from Jordan Love that are the second year evolution of a guy who, A, feels more comfortable, which is good, but B, maybe feels too comfortable and is going to take some chances that they're going to rein back in. I mean, look, Chewy, you saw the same thing with Brett, right? Like, yeah. You know, he went really, really good. And then there was that, like, second year. I mean, I think it was that second year where they had the big infamous meeting where they wanted to bench him and Mooch said no. And yeah. I mean, I just think that's sort of natural in a second year when you think maybe you're a little bit better and more comfortable than you are.
Well, yeah, I was saying earlier in the show, because Brett was reckless, but they were okay. You know, it's a lot easier to be reckless when you have a top five or a top one defense. They cover up a lot of warts, you know.
Great point.
But I wanted to ask you, Rob, you think Josh Jacobs should have got more carries yesterday? I thought they could have used him a little more.
Yeah, there was one series, and I don't remember exactly where it was, but I remember thinking to myself, why is Emmanuel Wilson in the game here and not Josh Jacobs? You know, it was probably, I want to say it was probably somewhere midway through the third quarter. So there's no doubt I thought they were running the ball really well. I don't know what the final numbers ended up being, but at one point I remember looking down and Jacobs was averaging like 6.8 yards a carry. And I think he only had maybe, you know, a dozen, 10, 11, 12 carries at that point. So yeah, I do think there's some merit there. But you know, I still think they're figuring out exactly what they want to do on offense in terms of a mix of him, of running the ball, of play action. You know, we're still only seven games into this thing right now. There's 10 games left. You know, this point last year, they were 2-5, right? And now we're able to nitpick a little bit about them being, you know, completely different and the start of the season being about as good as you could ask for, all things considered, given what they've been through.
Is that the best defensive performance they've had all year?
Well, I thought it was the most creative game for sure. I mean, I just went back and watched the sacks. You know, everyone's talking about how much they blitzed. I guess it depends on what your definition of blitz is. I mean, Eric Wilson had two sacks. Those were, quote unquote, he was a blitzing player, but only one of them was actually more than four-man pressures. In fact, Gary's sack, just a four-man rush. McKinney's sack, four-man rush. Obviously, McKinney is running a safety blitz. Wilson's first sack, four-man. Second sack was the six-man pressure. So, like, you know, everyone's like, well, they blitz like crazy. Technically, from a stat standpoint, the way that it's tracked by most people, they actually only sent more than four rushers on 17% of Stroud's dropbacks. Yet he was under pressure. I tweeted out this morning. He was under pressure. I think it was
45% of the time, according to ESPN stats and information.
So that's a remarkable return on your pressure investment.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here. So are we buying into Jeff Hafley a little bit more then? Because I know there were people who were like, and we have talked about it a lot here, about the pass rush and it not getting home and them not being able to get pressure with it. And yet Hafley showed that, okay, maybe that's not going to be our strong suit, but I can still dial up pressure. I can still make a quarterback uncomfortable in other ways. To me, that shows that, like, this guy actually is pretty smart. Mm-hmm. This guy actually is, as the season goes on, going to be able to cater his defense to the opposition.
Yeah. The only downer I'll bring to it, Jen, is that they're still struggling to stop the run a little bit. I mean, I realize Joe Mixon's a really, really good player, but that was a problem yesterday, run defense. It was a problem for a large part of the game. Now, they got some key run stops. But, yeah, I think, you know, from Hafley's standpoint, you know, he was doing it all with takeaways for the most part. But I thought yesterday they won the game with his creative ways to rush the passer and using different guys. And, you know, would you still like to see more from Lucas Van Ness and Preston Smith? And I know Gary had a sack and another near sack. But, yeah, from a traditional edge rush standpoint, you'd still like to see more. But I thought this might have been Hafley's most creative game plan.
Rob, should we expect more out of Rich Bisaccia? We were talking earlier in the show. I mean, he's paid a lot of money, but I think Gabe said his special teams unit are ranked 30th right now.
Is that what it is? I have not looked at that.
Pro Football Focus had him ranked 30th going into yesterday's game.
Okay. I mean, I will say this. Like, there were two returns yesterday where each guy did the wrong thing. There was one that should have been fair caught or let go, and the one that should have been returned that wasn't. I'll say this, though, and talking to Daniel Whelan after the game, we were talking to him about that snap, on the game-winning kick. And, you know, even Matt Orzech, we asked him, was it lower than you wanted it? And he goes, way lower. Daniel Whelan, the punter slash holder, told us that Rich Bisaccia throws him bad snap after bad snap after bad snap, drilling him on getting him used to handling those things. So in the big picture, Chewy, I agree with you. That's a detail thing, though, that, you know, I don't know that every special teams coach is doing hands-on. I mean, it's one thing you could have an equipment guy do it, but when your special teams coordinator is literally the one throwing you bad snap after bad snap to get you ready for that, you know, that's a little thing that I don't know that everybody does. So on the big picture, I agree with the premise. There are some things that maybe Rich is doing, though, that, you know, are helping him too.
Rob, we saw, I mean, Eric Stokes played, you know, single-digit snaps, and we saw more on the outside corner from Keyshawn Nixon, which meant more opportunities for Evan Williams and then Javon Bullard in the slot. Do you think that's Texan-specific, or is that going to be more of the base alignment for Hafley in the defense?
I think that's the way it's trending, for sure, Dave. I mean, I think Stokes only played a few snaps. I think it was when they went to dime. It was him and 26, Ballantyne. I think this is the way they've sort of settled in right now, as long as they have this group healthy. And look, it's a pretty remarkable transformation from Keyshawn Nixon, who basically was only a slot guy and now is you know, playing out there on the edge. And, you know, Bullard's snaps have gone down. He was a full-time safety, and then now he's only in the sub stuff. But Evan Williams, Evan Williams made another, you know, timely play yesterday. So I think this is the way they're settling in, and it would not surprise me if this is the way, you know, until something changes with an injury, this is the way they go.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us today and appreciate the insight as always. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. We'll be seeing you, Jen. See ya.
You have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We've enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. As you might know, Dario and I are not the most handy people, but the good news is we know folks who are, and that is our friends over at PCI. If you are thinking about building a new home, you got a remodeling project or a home addition, the PCI team is here for you. Go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com. There you can see some of the projects they have done and get some ideas about what they can do for you. Again, that website, professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right?
Yeah.
Kinda like a... oof, like just, instead of a huh.
Yeah, but that's all part of
you
taking the training law.
I do, but it's just such funny noises.
Did this get sexual or something? I don't know about it. What the hell just happened?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you are visiting our great city of Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee, with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Like I'm gonna puke, cause my taxes are due. Do my best. Gabe, can you do me a favor? Can you check out the Twitter feed and see what tweets we have thrown out there today and what the reaction has been to them? I believe we asked at one point, are you worried about Jordan Love's interceptions?
That is the only question we have up right now. Are you worried about the amount of interceptions Jordan Love has thrown this season? 52.7% of people are saying no.
Oh,
so far.
Very close, though. That's a little split decision there.
Why is Christian Watson so uninvolved? Nine catches through seven games?
Yeah. I don't have an answer for you, Chewy.
Is there a moving on?
I can't imagine.
I mean, they'll move on after next season, after the contract expires, probably.
Really?
Yeah. And
he's been healthy. I mean, nine catches? I'd be raising hell.
And unless do I think that they're going to, if this trend continues, Chew, they're not going to approach him with some sort of contract extension this offseason. They're going to let him play out the contract. If he ends up having a big year next year, then they enter contract negotiations.
But it can't be similar, Chew, to like the Aaron Jones thing that we have talked about in the past, where they didn't think that he was dependable, durable is the word I was looking for. And so they were only giving him a limited number of snaps, right? Do you think that's it? That they're like, we can only use him for 50% of the snaps because when he's out there, there's a high risk of him getting hurt?
I hate to say it, but I almost rather have injured Christian Watson. He was more productive.
Wait,
right?
Injured Christian Watson or injured Aaron Jones?
Injured Christian Watson.
So
he was better last year just playing, what, 8 games than grabs through 7 games?
He's still playing. I mean, yesterday he played 7 more snaps than Dontavian Wicks, played 53% of the snaps. Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, the only other two wide receivers ahead of him in terms of that. So he's
it seems to me over 7 games, there hasn't been a game where it's like, hey, let's get him going. You guys feel that or no?
Last year, you
could clearly feel.
Yeah, I mean, the only game where it felt like he was mostly involved was that second, the second game that Jordan was out. That second Malik Willis game where he had 2 big plays.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of catches to go around.
Correct, yeah. Which is why those 2 big plays that he made stood out. But since Jordan has been back, no, he's been really quiet.
I mean, there was that one game last year where he was coming. It was his first game back from injury, and he caught the long ball down the middle of the field. I forget which game it was. But there was clearly a concerted effort to get him involved and get – I just haven't seen that this year.
Yeah, I mean, against Detroit and Kansas City, arguably their 2 biggest wins of the regular season last year, those back-to-back games. I mean, they took the shot right away to him. He was heavily involved in both of those games.
Wasn't there talk of at one point him possibly going on injured reserve with the ankle injury? Now, obviously, he did not do that. Is there a chance that he's not 100% healthy? And so they're kind of just, I don't know. And
again, he's out there enough.
I agree that he's out there. Is there, I think it's a great question by you, Chu. You know, now again, they won the game.
Yeah.
So you could sit there and go, well, they didn't need him because they ended up winning. But like, you're right. As the season goes on, you would hope that they would be able to work him into the offense a little bit more, especially because he is such a unique deep threat for this team.
Or he's been passed by. I mean, we knew this. It's happened at the tight end position, right? With Kraft and granted, Musgrave is hurt now. But even before the injury, it had happened at the tight end position, and we knew this was going to happen, that not all 4 wide receivers were going to progress and become these superstars. It's very possible he's been passed by, at least by 2. I mean, Wicks is still, I mean, he was... Like I said, 7 snaps less than Watson, but I mean, Wicks was still more productive than Watson was yesterday, even in less snaps.
Is that a concern for you, Chu? Do you think that they are mismanaging it?
It just seems to me right now he's the 4th receiver, where last year
somebody has to be
him,
Chu.
They wanted him to be the number one. I mean, Reed stepped up as a rookie, but it's just, I don't know. The numbers are a little alarming to me.
Yeah, I just think he's not getting open enough for him to demand targets.
Yeah, I think it's that simple.
Like Wicks, for how much he runs routes and gets targets, it's impressive still. He's had his drops, had his issues, but he's the 4th most snaps on here, and he's still contributing in a big way. And Christian Watson at 51%, 53% simply isn't getting open enough to demand targets.
Wicks only had 24 snaps yesterday and had 6 targets.
Yeah, that's wild. Remarkable.
Wild.
Chu, what does your ideal offense look like for the Green Bay Packers? Like, if you pick the personnel that's on the field, who would you have out there?
I'd go zebra package, which is 3 receivers, tight end, 1 running back, obviously Jacobs, Kraft, Reed, Wicks, Doubs.
Well, then that explains it then.
Yeah, again.
Sounds like you and Matt LaFleur might be on the same page, bud.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. You still need a guy to stretch the field and air... Has he been thrown too deep at all?
Yeah, he scored a 40-yard touchdown away from last week.
I mean, the interception, one of the 2 interceptions yesterday, that was pretty far downfield. That was intended for Watson. I mean, do I specifically remember like a go route that he's run recently? Not in the last handful of weeks where he's been targeted.
But if there's any receiver that has a right to complain, if it's not his ability. You know, and he's not getting, if that's not the case, then it would be Christian Watson.
Sure.
Not Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, because Romeo played the most snaps of any wide receiver yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you look at the targets. Christian Watson for the years had 14 targets. That's not a lot.
I think that there is value in having him on the field, even if you're not targeting him, right?
Sure.
Again, with the threat of targeting him at any moment, I suppose, is kind of the idea. But you have to obviously commit a defender to him. And most of the time it's going to be downfield, so that opens up the middle of the field then, right?
Maybe. But at some point you have to target him.
Yeah, exactly. I like, mean,
otherwise defenses are going to realize what's going on.
The boy who cried wolf. Well, yeah. The boy who cried Watson. Yeah. That's what it is.
They told us last week that the reason they threw that pass is because they noticed they weren't following him. So in the previous...
Maybe it's working.
Yeah, they had disregarded him. So they're like, well, then we're going to throw it to
just
him.
A decoy. Just kidding.
Yeah, they're trying to find the balance. Like, Wicks gets open an awful lot, but they also realize what he does in terms of a vertical threat, and he seems like a MVS plus right now.
So instead of having a security blanket in the flat, they've got a security blanket downfield? Is that what you're telling me? Like, if everyone else is covered, there's a chance that Watson is running the go route and he's not covered, and you can make a home run play there. Thanks for hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is a Victory Monday here, and you know Wildy and Tausch will continue this conversation right after this on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.